going to the wall, let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion or contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting that saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Well, we're looking at the series Faith and Folly, or Faith or Folly. It's a mix of several conversations that we are just having. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Or look at Romans 12. Let's start from Romans there, actually. Romans chapter 12. Trusting God that this series is enlightening, and my hearts are open to see some very interesting truths. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, right, that ye what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Is that correct? Right? Which is your reasonable service. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the word renewing, is that a past tense? Is a present what? So it's not a present tense alone, it's a present continuous. So how frequently should the believer renew his mind? Every time. You know, I rather would say every time than every day. Right? Because within a day, you ought to renew your mind severally. You see, if you go into a day, particularly in the world we find ourselves, if you go into a day, renew your mind once, you might end that day on the wrong side of the bed. Right? Because there's always something that changes what we see, that changes what we react to or what we have to respond to. Are we together? Right? So he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the continuous renewing of your mind. You know, you go online, for instance, and why do I always talk about online or the online platform? It's because if you check it very well in life, because of the phones that we now have access to, we sort of spend more time on our phones. Like, for instance, we did that survey 2 or 3 weeks ago where we asked everyone to bring out their phones and to check how many number of hours you spend on average on your phone. You know, we didn't ask everyone to tell us, but some of you would have seen you and I would say, right? Yeah, but one thing you can do for yourself is that number you saw, try and beat it down no matter what the number is. Did you hear what I just said? Try and beat it down no matter what the number is. Right? So if you're averaging doing 15 hours in a day, that's huge. Right? Beat it down. If you're doing 10 hours, if you're doing 2 hours, if you're doing 1 hour, try to bring it down. Right? Learn to spend more time in God's word than in the things of this world. Right? And that's how you renew your mind. Joshua 1:8. Right? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate in day and night. So what does God want us to do with the word? We meditate. What does it mean to meditate? To think, to ponder. To think, to ponder. To think, to ponder. So you need to have that practice of thinking and pondering on the word consistently. Thinking and pondering on the word consistently. Thinking and pondering on the word consistently. It's something that you must always do. Right? Because when you see how interesting the world we find ourselves is, you realize that there are lots of things that are going past your head. A lot of things are happening all around. So he says, make sure you learn to meditate on the world in day and night. Right? Yeah? So it's very, very important as a believer. You know, sometimes you see some things and you'll be like, you know, people are not even trained at all. You know, people are not even, let me show you something in Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel. If you look at 18:26, let's see. Ezekiel 18:26. Let me just show you something interesting, right? And it falls under the category of, is this faith or is this folly? Look at Ezekiel 18, verse 26. It says, when a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committed iniquity and died in them. For his iniquity, right, that he had done, shall he die. Look at verse 27 again. When the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he had committed and doth that which is lawful and right, he shall be saved. Because he considereth not and turneth away from all his transgression that he had committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Look at verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all the transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Look at verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make ye a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Let's read verse 32 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, says the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live. So what's the admonition there? God is calling for a change of heart. Is that repentance? Right? But peradventure, repentance is not done. Does God derive pleasure in the death of a man that is a sinner? No. Look at it again. I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, says the Lord. I have no pleasure in the death of him that died. Look at chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, and go all the way to verse 11. I have no pleasure in the death of him that died. I have no pleasure. So there is no time that a man dies that God has a pleasure or God pleasures about it. What is God's intention for every man? Right? To repent. First Timothy will show you that. Right? It's God's will that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. So God expects that everyone should repent. But peradventure, if people don't repent, God is not excited about that fact. Look at Ezekiel 33 verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no what? Are you in verse 11, 33? Let's read together as a family. 1, 2, 3, go. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turns from his way and lives. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Right? Yeah. So what's God's stance regarding death for anyone, including the wicked? No pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, if you find yourself in a situation where, you know, you allow the social media world influences your thinking, you'll find out that a lot of times you will do anti-scriptural. So no matter how wicked you call a man or term a man, right, the death of a man can never be something God derides. You know, some people just pass on this law, maybe because we're not Christians, right? And peradventure, because of the kind of life they live, depending on whatever lens that anyone views it from. Right, and the conclusion they just say, that's God. That's even the angels are excited about this. No, that's not how we view life. Right, God expects that everyone is saved. God expects the most wicked men to be changed or to have a change of heart. Right, God expects that they receive, you know, His life, His spirit in them. But the truth is that if peradventure that doesn't happen, it does not validate that God has a pleasure in the death of the wicked. You see, Scripture says, as long as I live. And we're together, as long as I live, right? So it's very interesting when you see Christians doing very ridiculous or giving expression to a kind of excitement when certain things happen to certain people. And we're together, right? When certain things happen to certain people, as a Christian, you should be ashamed of yourself rejoicing in that, because you are rejoicing out of the will of God. It's God's will that all men, including the wicked, are saved, right? But peradventure, that doesn't happen. In fact, that should even spur our heart to see the need for us to do much more work. Are we together in the land on the earth that we find ourselves? Because God expects that word, no matter how wicked a man is. I'm saying there is no wickedness in the heart of a man that God has not solved for. Yeah? There is no wickedness in the heart of a man that God cannot take care of. Right? There's no wickedness in the heart of anyone that God cannot turn around. Right? Through his love, through his word, through his message. Right? So that's why the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. You know, you can say certain facts about evil things that people do without wishing them evil. You know, you can be vocal about saying something that you don't like that someone did to you without you wishing them evil, without you rejoicing that something evil happens to someone. Right? Yeah? It takes an extent or a height of folly to be rejoicing as a believer over the death of one who you tend to be wicked. Right? What should be your prayer focus? Think about Jesus. The man who betrayed Jesus was who? Judas. Right? When Judas came with the soldiers to, you know, arrest Jesus, when he was going to give the expression to the betrayer, what did he say to Judas? He says, friend, do that which you've come to do and do it quickly. I went together. I still refer to him as friend. I went together. Right? Imagine Jesus supernaturally picking 12 disciples and one of them was a betrayer who took out money from the purse of another one of the force of what you can call the wicked to betray one, as such a one, that same Judas Jesus died for. And we're together, right? So what does God, so what will give God pleasure when he sees a Judas today and a Judas tomorrow? It is the Judas of yesterday is not the Judas of today because his heart has changed. Yet wicked, though wicked, man may never forget the wickedness, but God has changed and turned his heart. I hope that's instructive enough for you. I hope that's instructive enough for you, right? So you ensure that you have the practice of renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. Pay attention to the word. Pay attention to the word. What does the word say about every situation? You know, you can actually say that to your life. Every situation, what does the word say about it? Including your husband, including your wife, including your partner, right? Including your children. You can actually ask, you know, you can go and take a child to a school and ask and actually say to yourself, what would God have me do? Sometimes what we do as believers is, because we think about how the Bible can be logical and requires a lot of explanation, we now take away the supernatural factor of our lives and begin to be logical in every approach. And we're together, right? Yeah, you know, you hear someone say something like, you know, I, if I get a job, I don't say thank you, Jesus. I just say thanks, God. I just say, I just say I'm thankful. Do you know why people get to that conclusion? Because maybe they've heard somewhere that both Christians and unbelievers can get a job. So you don't have to be thankful for a job. How did we get there? Right? It's either we're not teaching the right things or we're not listening well. You know, I don't say thank you, Jesus, if I get a job. Right? When I say thank you, Jesus, is maybe I was on the hospital bed, right? And they've already confirmed me dead. And one angel comes to my room and touch my forehead and I jump up and start running. Say, thank you, Jesus. But if it's an exam that I'm supposed to have read for, what do? I just say, I'm grateful. I'm thankful, right? Because you don't want to sort of attach it to something supernatural happen. I hope you know that you can have a combination of the supernatural and the natural together in your life. You know, see, there's an extreme. You remember in school, and there was a preacher who came around and, you know, he was preaching us for final year students. One of the things he says to us was, you know, when you are leaving the school, don't think as if you are going to the labor market, right? Because when you go there, you are a believer, you're not going to the labor market, you are going to the favor market. Say favor market. Right? Then, unfortunately, that time, this song has not come out. It surrounds me like a shield. You know, that's how would have ended that service. you get the song, right? Yeah, it's favor. You don't go into labor, right? Use your words to frame your word. Huh. But you know you are going into the labor market as a favored child. You know, it can be, you can understand. And that's why lots of believers don't act as they should act when they get jobs. Right? You see lots of Christians being laid back. Why? Because, you know, I don't struggle for things. Yeah? If my boss says I should submit that document by Thursday morning, if by Wednesday I'm in church and I don't feel like doing it, I'm in the favor market. Are we together? But you know, it can be a combination. You are going into the labor market and you are trusting and believing that you experience favor. Right? You are applying for a job. You are trusting that something supernatural can happen to you. You can apply for a job and you know, how the recruiter looks at you or gauges you does not beat your imagination. As to you're like, why does this person just like me? Why does this person just, you know, sometimes you're talking to people in interviews and you'll just see something that resonates with you and be like, that's not some coincidence. You might even eventually find out when you go into, you know, the company, if you get the job, for instance, that the person is not even linked to the Christian faith. So I'm saying you can experience favor. You can experience supernatural deliverance. And we're together, right? You can have a blend of the supernatural and the natural, right? So what I'm saying to you is that when the Bible says, Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing. So the transformation God expects for the heart of a believer is not a one-off situation, right? So there's a one-off situation, which is what happens when you are born again. It happens one-off. You believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of your life, right? And that becomes you saved eternally, right? But there is the continuous act, the continuous practice of renewing your mind and doing that subsequently, right? Thinking on God's word, meditating on God's word until it gets to you, right? You know, when I remember a couple years ago, probably over 10 years, definitely, when people usually reach out to me to ask me questions about, you know, things they are going through in life, I used to give them a simple example. This is what I used to say to them. I said, if you take a foam, you know the foam you use to wash plates, that's if you use foam. Hopefully you don't use iron sponge to wash plates. You know, when you take a foam, right, and you put a foam and soak it well with water, right, if you put it on this table, When you touch the foam, no matter the extent of pressure you put, what will come out from the foam?
Water.
If you take the same foam and soak it in a bottle of Coke, and you put it on the table and you touch it and you squeeze it, what will come out of it? Coke. Why is it that way? Because you've soaked enough. And that's how the Christians should live their life, whereby you soak yourself well enough such that when anything happens to you, you are responding with the word. Do you understand? You are responding to the word. Look at Jesus was on the boat, right? And there was storm all around. You could tell that Jesus was one who soaked himself in the word, because all he did was he stood up by the word, in the word, through the word, and spoke to the storm, and that changed everything. So, believers, you need to learn and ensure that you are always feeding and soaking yourself with the word, such that when tribulation happens to you, you see, sometimes when things happen to you, and the way you respond, yeah, sometimes might shock you. Yeah, it might shock you. Do you understand? Both negatively or positively. Right? Yeah, someone can do something to you and you just want to insult the person. Right? Yeah. Someone can do something to you and you just want to bless the person. You just want to say good things to yourself to calm yourself down. I'm saying the extent at which you've soaked yourself in the word is how it will display. You know, there's something called GIGO in computer science, right? Garbage what? In, garbage out, right? What you feed yourself with is what you will produce. Are we together? Is what you produce. What you feed yourself. Have you found out that a lot of people, they reproduce the things they saw in their parents? I hope you know that. Yeah? No matter how much you grow, right? And there are traits in your parents you will not like. Almost everybody, I believe, is in that situation. There are things in your parents are doing that you will not like or you don't like. But I tell you for free, right? If you live your life on a normal pedestal, you will reproduce exactly what you saw, because it is all you saw. Are we together? Yeah? That's why they always tell this. There's statistics that shows that when you see a man beat up a woman, husband beat up the wife, more often than not, the boy in the house will do the same to his wife. If it's the other way around, the girl in the house will do the same. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Why is it that way? It is what you fed your heart with. Whatever you feed your heart with long enough, you become it sooner or later. Whatever you feed your heart with long enough, you become it sooner or later, right? You will feed your heart with, you know, your playlist is full of ridiculous singings and ridiculous songs, right? If you play one song now, everybody, you just jump up, yay! And you quote the lyrics one by one as if you are the one that gave the author the song. Eh? You quote it so much. You see, when I was younger, I used to be known as a church boy in my class, such that, what we call class party? Right? Class party, when you bring your game, you come, then somebody will bring speaker, then you just let loose and become somebody. So I used to just realize when they just play one song, right? Everybody will sing. But me, because I'm a social boy, I just jump in their middle, I just be doing like this, right? But one day I realized I was looking off. You know what I went to do? I bought a book, and I didn't buy a book the first day. I didn't have money. But I took a book, a brand new book, one of the books my parents bought for me for my school. Right? Guess what I started using it to do? Lyrics. You know it. Yeah? I started writing lyrics. You know, then, you know, now this computer age, you can ask ChatGPT, what's the lyrics of this song? Yeah, but then you have to listen and score the lyrics, right? There are some songs I scored like that, and thank God God caught me before I went far, because I started going far. There was this song by Snoop Dogg, right? I went far. So we did Style Plus. We did Style Plus. We did Olumente. We did The Banch, right? Yeah, so those songs are normal, right? Yeah, Coco Master. We did, you know, Style Plus. Imagine that. Have you got to hear the occasion? Let me not sing it today. Are we together? Right? So I wrote it down. Even me that did not teach me Yoruba in my house, I sure knew how I would write it to remember. Then I went overseas. The likes of the T-Pains, right? Yeah, the likes of, what's this guy? Tupac, right? Then the likes of Snoop Dogg. He's in the kitchen. Water getting pot. No, heat in the kitchen, pot on the stove, water getting hot. I've been running this game since I was a master Amu. It's God that delivered me. And there was a brother who was living in our house at the time. He's still in Nigerian church. I'm talking about 2005, 2006, right? He was in our home. He bought a lyrics book. One day, myself and my mom, my brother was very young, my sister, then we went to go and visit someone in the hotel, right? And because my parents didn't want us to really go in, we stayed in the car. So it was a rehearsal venue. We were just rehearsing in the car, myself, sister, Esther, and my brother. You know, so we rehearsed, forgot where we were. So my dad came, he entered the car, you know, I was just driving in the car, everywhere was quiet. Before you know, we started rapping. Gracious Father. So my dad first did like he'd not hear us. I remember that scene very well. He just like he'd not hear. He wanted us to finish one song at least. Right? Then just look back. He said, who's teaching you that song? We did not want to talk. There was a brother in our house. Right? Yeah. Bless his heart. Lovely brother. Right? So my dad had just seen him and just brought him in and just asked him to live with us. Right? But the back end, when we are home with him, he'll be teaching us lyrics. Right? That night, we drove home. My dad wanted him. My dad asked him, so go and pack your load. You're leaving my house this night. It was my mom that was now begging, like, let it reach tomorrow morning. That morning, that's when he left our house. This was around 6 or 7, right? And that's when he left our house. But he's still in Nigerian church, actually. In fact, his wedding was the first wedding I joined in my life as a pastor. Yeah, so I'm talking almost 20 years now, right? Bless his heart. He's a very lovely brother. He's now married, I mean, and doing well for his life. But, you know, that's just how I started learning. So I think that was even the cage or the period when I was caught from that word. If not today, maybe I'll be plaiting my beard. I'll be plaiting my hair, you know, be doing rap artists. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that when you feed yourself long enough, just by being around, you can be influenced. Don't think you are strong enough to resist influence in the middle of thick influence. That's how a lot of us think. We see ourselves that way. Oh, no, nothing can happen. I cannot be influenced now. No. We are just friends. If you move around people who smoke, yeah, and you're the only one that does not smoke, sooner or later, you will touch. Are we together? More often than not, the only reason I'm making not to touch is maybe your doctor has warned you about your liver or your kidney. Then you just remember you want to live long. If there is no factor, there is nothing. And that's why you see in the coming generation we are in, dear saints, I beg you, be very spiritual in your parenting. Be very supernatural in parenting. You know, bless your heart if, for instance, as a child, as a father, right, you know what your son is doing in school without knowing. You know, there's an interview I saw of a man. Oh, I can't remember who he was. Have you watched the video? Okay, yeah. So I said I saw him. He said that the reason why he didn't do some things in school was because he knew that his parents will know by word of knowledge. What a safe house to grow up in. Right? Where you know that your parents will know. So it is not up to your parents to, like we said on Sunday, push under the carpet, overlook, or discipline you. Yeah? And I'm privileged to have come up in a home like that, like my parents. My parents were both supernaturally and naturally present. Yeah, like I'd always tell you, when it came to open day school, open day in the school, nowhere called open day. Open day is the day when they open the door of the school for parents to come. Right? If nobody comes, my father must come, my mother must come. If I think they should do it maybe 2 or 3 times in a 10. That's too much. That's too much. Right? My parents will be there. I cannot forget in my GS2, right? My lecturer, then my teacher then, Mrs. Forma or something, that was her name. Right? She was our English teacher. From that day, I didn't like her. What did she do? Somebody I thought we were friends with. I know some of your teachers, they want to say some things to your parents because your parents will give them money. Eh? So my dad came into school in GS2. I can remember the class I was in, right? And my dad was just talking about, this lady just talked about a friend who I was getting close to. Meanwhile, my father, without me knowing, came into that school and told me that boy must not be your friend. He's a pastor's son, no? He told me, you see that boy there, he must not be your friend. But you know how when they say, don't touch, that's the one that is sweetening you. Somewhere in my mind, I just felt like, what was it about this boy? I know what I got from that boy in 1 year. I know. I cannot say it. Right? But I just said, no one cannot be a friend. Only for someone that said, that somebody cannot be my friend, my lecturer is now reporting me that that's my best friend. Trouble. Dirty slap like this in the class. My head reset. My life changed from that day. And we're together, right? Yeah, I remember sometimes then, because, I mean, we're classmates in our class, we're maybe 14 or 15 in secondary school, right? So more often than not, you'll find out that when we have to play football, we always play together. But my dad will warn me, our field then, Lightway Academy, was a proper football pitch, right? And you know, a lot of people cannot run around the pitch once. I hope you know. It's easy to watch Sky Sports. Rugama run, my friend. People are playing football. They say, come on, run, my friend. Why are you running like you're pregnant? Do you know an average person cannot run around a pitch once? If you think I'm joking, go to a stadium. Go to a stadium. I mean, run around once. Right? So when we used to play football, I used to play football with one heart because my father then, right, he was into ministry. That's what put my father into ministry. He can appear in your school anytime. You know, if your father is working somewhere, you can know that the boss will tie him down one way or the other. And my father will just appear. But me, I just need the color. So there were two colors I mastered at the time. I think it was blue, Peugeot, and Passat, brown. Once you see the head of that car at the gate, there's only one. Once you see the head like this, the way I would run inside flower, I would just disappear. And I will now clean my sweat, do my face. I just come and say, Daddy, welcome. How are you? Daddy, welcome. He will not see me. I said, maybe he saw me and he will not tell me. Right? But I just felt like that guy was supposed to be my friend. And eventually, right? I'm talking about something that happened almost 20 years ago. And today, I can tell you for free, I saw it didn't make sense to me then, but it makes sense to me now. I'm saying if your sphere of influence is filled with people you don't want to be like, and you are still there, you will become like them very soon. One of the things you do when you go to a new place is identify who will be your friend. You can be friendly, yet not everybody is your friend. I hope you know that. You can be friendly. You can relate with people. I'm that kind of person. I can relate with people. You know that. I've said it over time, right? In university, I won the award of most social student out of almost 11 to 12,000 people. That's huge, Joe. That out of 12,000 people, at least 10,000 people know you by name. I know you well, and I greet them. But if you call my friends, I can count them with my hands. So you can be friendly, yet not having every Dick, Tom, and Harry as your friend. So when you go to an environment, what's the first thing you do? You start thinking of relationships. Relationships are so important. Yeah? Relationships are so important. I hope you know that everything about the Christian faith, God expects that we fulfill it in and with relationships. What does that mean? There's a relationship between you and your discipler. And there should be a relationship between you and your disciple. Relationships. Relationships. Right? Sometimes we don't pay attention to relationships as we ought to. Yeah? We just feel like, that someone smiles to you on the first day you saw them does not mean that they can become your friend. Learn to have values and know how to do SWOT analysis or analysis on the kinds of goals and friendship you should have. Now, I'm not saying you should go into friendship and be thinking, always thinking, what can I get from this one? There will be some friendships you'll go into and you will know that you are in that person's life to change something about them. But I'm saying, don't let everybody around you be people you want to change about them. You will soon become like that because they will change you. Yeah, so relationships are very, very important, right? How you build relationships. So you must know those who, you should have inner circle. You should have outer circle. You should also have holies of holies. Are we together? You know, not every gist in your life is for all your friends. You can be in a group chat with four friends, and there are some things that happen to you, you will not say it on that group chat. You should be smart enough to know what not to say on the group chat. Yeah? You should be smart enough to know. Right? Sometimes you find out that you have friends who are very envious of you. In fact, sometimes you find friends that they make you become envious of them. It's two ways, though. You know, it's easy for you to just say everybody's envious of you, but you. Have you actually asked yourself, who are you envious of? Not every I'm happy for you means I'm happy for you. Oh, I'm happy for you, to me, is a statement of response that you make when someone tells you good news. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, so I'm trying to say that. I'm not saying I'm judging every I'm happy for you. But I don't allow I'm happy for you make me feel like I'm on top of the world. No, that's not how I view life. Altogether. So you must be able to gauge, analyze relationships, analyze friends. There are friends you come around, they speak, and you feel darkness. I've had situations like that. You just feel everywhere around you is dark. And you step away and just realize that. I'm talking about literal darkness. So your heart will be heavy. That's the supernatural part of relationship building. And there are some of us, because of our bad character, we've chased God-sent people to us. I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago, the wife of a friend of mine. You know, it's a bad practice not to be able to reply people's message. Maybe it's today I'll tackle this one. You know, it's a bad practice. That is not how you are. You will let that bad culture by growing up. Let me tell you, I'm saying, even if it is because of a sense of insult or molestation or something that happened to you, I'm saying you need to be intentional to come out of it. It's not godly. It's not. I always say to people, see, my phone, even while I tell you that my phone, I'm not really my phone, there are messages that they really take 5-10 minutes for me to reply. No supernatural relationship. And some of you will not even reply people's message in time. You cannot even apologize. I'm sorry for my late reply. It's not good though. What's the series we are doing? Faith or folly? It's not good though. Don't say, you know, that's how I am. I'm not really a phone person. Bring your screen time. Bring it. Bring your screen time. Now, I understand that there are people who, for instance, they've had lots of things, you know, you have experiences, for instance, maybe when you were growing up, every time you see a phone, right, it's always somebody that is shouting at you or someone that's scolding you or someone that your parents is doing something terrible to you. But I'm saying as you grow up in life, let it not be that the day an opportunity shows up on your phone, you missed it because you don't reply messages. Let it not be, right, that somebody needs your help, a life or death issue, and even your relative, such that you could actually be of help. Don't let experiences teach you some lessons. Anybody that has a bad idea, please, I beg you, in the next 1 year, work on yourself. It's bad. It's bad. Do you understand? The relationship you should have, for instance, your pastor should not message you, for instance. And this is what I'm trying to say on a careless note. Do you know why I'm using pastor? Because you can't do it with your manager at work. How many of you keep your manager on red for 2 days? You know now, after that three days, you know you should just go to LinkedIn and modify your CV and just change it to open to work. So it means that when your manager messages you, regardless of how you feel, you see it and reply, it means you don't have a problem. Do you know what I just said? It's a different thing when what they're asking you is something sensitive. You want to think back, and somebody can even say, sorry, let me get back to you on this. Yeah? No matter how much you feel, if your manager messages you, what do you do? In fact, some of you that put your Teams on your phone, yeah? You want to quickly go to Audio Ambassador to this, and you look at your phone. Yeah, you want to quickly go and buy something in Audi. This is how your phone is on your eye. What are you looking for? Waiting for one message to just change. Quickly, you reply. A friend of mine, I was in my house, I think a couple weeks ago, right? You know, and his manager had texted him. We're doing a few things. His manager's manager, and that's where the problem is. His manager's manager messaged him at 1 o'clock. He saw the message, he didn't reply. 2 hours later, his own manager messaged me that this man is looking for you. Where have you been? Are you okay? You know, when they ask you, are you okay like that, you think that they're just trying to, they're checking you and say, we are paying you for this time. What are you doing with your time? Right? I serve food for this, my friend, he could not eat. I'm not joking, in my house. I serve him food like this. When he was ready to finally eat, it was after he sorted out the issue. You know, you have to go and microwave the food for another 3 minutes. Let's tell you how cold the food became. It's about learn to manage relationships well. That's me. No, I don't. My phone. I put my phone. That's not true. You always use your phone. Always use your phone. Right? So learn that practice. The relationships you have in your life, they're supernatural. And I'm not even talking about supernatural relationships alone. I'm saying you can meet people who will change the course of your generation. I hope you know. Learn to build a relationship. It's not every party you turn down. The Bible even teaches. It says when an unbeliever bids you to come, we will touch that maybe next week, right? If you are free, go there and rejoice with them. It's in the Bible, not, you know, someone says in the Old Testament. I'm talking about Corinthians. It says if an unbeliever, when Paul was talking about food offered to idol, if an unbeliever asks you to come for their party, see, learn to go for interactions. Don't always be looking for only where they are sharing food. Sometimes it might not be food that will change your destiny. I went for when companies do open book or some open fair. When companies open their door, I say open day. When job career fair, right? When there, And look at, I was in the midst of several directors. This was probably over a year ago. And there was one of them I spoke to. Do you know, in just initiating that conversation, I found that the person was actually living in my own estate, in my development here, in Livingston, when I was still in Livingston. Right? You know that speaking opened up a job opportunity for me. But the only reason I could not venture or follow through was because it was an everyday call to the office. And it was going to require me to travel a longer distance. But I'm saying, see me just by being there. And I spoke to her. You know, when you go there, don't be looking at the table. Samosa so pass, you pick. Small chow pack, you pick. You've not finished the one you are eating, you already have four in your hand. Yeah? Another one is the passenger. She said, what is there? Your hand is full of plenty. You even be asking people, do you have plates? Sorry, is there any plate here? You pack food, pack food, pack food, pack food. Connection you're supposed to be getting, you are filling your stomach up. As if you were hungry from your house. Yeah? Rabina, pass, you drink. And this one, pass, you drink. You still be expecting that there's pure food. When they now want to cut cake, you are happy. Not happy that they're celebrating their career fair. Happy that there's cake for you to eat. Relationships matter. Learn to build relationships. Learn to build connections. Right? A friend of mine, I read his post, a few days ago. Right? He was in his church. Right? And a multi-millionaire in dollars. He was in Nigeria. Right? Was coincidentally sitting beside him. Right? Guess what? You know when pastor is saying, tell your neighbor, you are sitting beside a giant. You know that kind of statement now? Eh? Yeah? You know, look at your neighbor. You know, you're trying to tell your neighbor you are the giant, you know? See, I'm sitting behind a giant. I mean, God is taking me somewhere to happen. When the guy, smart guy, when he knew that this person here is a true giant, he did not say what pastor says. Oh. He said, I'm privileged to sit beside you as a giant, sir. The guy now laughed. Do you know that from that day they collected their number? You don't know where that relationship will end. Some of you, even in church, they say, tell your neighbor. This pastor, tell your neighbor, tell your neighbor, tell your neighbor. When will they allow us to just come and listen to the word? Learn to, you know, there's something called icebreaker. Learn those things. It's part of it. When you go to work, everywhere, maybe they're waiting for a director to come to your meeting, right? And several of you have already gathered. All of you just put your microphone off your camera. Right? Learn those kind of things you can ask as a question, as even if you are not too interested. It's all part of relationship building. It's all part of it. Some of you, yeah, you collect people's number just to increase your contact list. You know, there are people you would have on your contact list. You can remind yourself to send them, hope you are fine, once in 3 months, once in 4 months. Build relationships. The day that life becomes very interesting, you'll be unfortunate if all you have is money. Did you hear what I just said? The day that life becomes interesting or unfortunate, yeah, when a man goes to the battlefield, unfortunate is he if all he goes with is money. Yeah? Unfortunate is he if all his resources is cash flow. What will cash flow fight for you at the battlefield? You need people. You need people. So, if before you used to use 7 Eket working days to reply people, I'm trying to say in the next 1 year, let it be that you've dropped it to 3 days. I'm not saying you will change. You won't change overnight. I'm not expecting you to change overnight. But let it be that even when you even reply, I'm so sorry, I missed your message. It's just as basic as it's courtesy. You know, you can be courteous. It's just very basic. Oh, I'm so sorry, I missed your message. I'm doing good. In fact, sometimes you even ask some people, how are you? Right? It's the how are you that will take them 5 days to reply. After the 5th day, they'll just say, I'm doing good, though. Do you know what I'm doing good, though? Not even how are you, too. Learn to know how to respond to conversation. You know, when somebody tells you how are you, and you say, I'm fine, you've ended the conversation. It takes a man who is bold enough to continue the conversation. They ask you, how are you? You say, I'm fine. No, how's work? Oh, it's fine, no. How is ministry? It's going well, no. Our family going well, we thank the Lord though. Learn those basic things. I know they didn't teach some of us this thing. That's why I'm teaching you as a pastor. See, let me tell you, I'm not making noise here. I've built relationships over the years. Trust me, and I'm not joking. It takes a lot to be able to say you are the most social in 12,000 human beings. That's a huge deal, though. So I'm not talking from head. I didn't learn what I'm teaching you today from a school. I'm talking about reality. A lot of people, I have a friend of mine today. How did we get talking? We were in the cafeteria together. right? He was buying his food, talking to his friend. I'm not saying you should go and choke your mouth in every conversation. No, it's not always like that. But you can gauge the room. My father used to be like that. I didn't used to like it though, but I was like that. My father will go to car wash. Eh? People that don't know themselves, seven people that don't know themselves, they are all there to wash their car. My dad doesn't know any of them. But guess what? My dad will just be reading his paper and he will just start the conversation. All of them, they become friends that day. In fact, there are situations sometimes you'll find out that there are people who will start coming to that car wash just to talk with my dad. A few years ago, almost 10 years ago, my father was in the house of a senior man in Nigeria, right? A very high guy in Nigeria. So he went to the house of the man to go and pray, right? And there was a room of people waiting to see the man. But anytime my dad goes there, it's privileged that they just walk him through straight to the master bedroom of the man. And he went there. Well, there was a man who was there, right? And he was trying to look for how to become friend with my dad. Because I want to be close to this man who knows the man I'm here for, right? And guess what happened? One day they were just together, and my dad initiated the conversation. Do you know what happened? When they talked and they spoke for a few weeks, they found out that me, the son of my father, and the son of that man who were roommates, listen, not classmates, who were roommates in school. I'm not saying in the past, as they were talking, where they were, we were in the same room in Afe Babalola University. And that changed a lot about the relationship that existed in my heart and the heart of the child. His child. Yeah, I was on the calf. One of my close friends, right, he was talking with someone. And I just asked a simple question. I just said, you would have done this, that would have done that. And he just looked at me, and that was the end. From that day, he followed me to my room. From that day to today, it's been the same. How do you value relationship? There are people today, I'm not saying you should do it for ulterior motive, there are people today who are seated here that might become presidents of countries tomorrow, governors of countries tomorrow, or in prominent position. How you handle relationships today will determine what will happen tomorrow. Okay, it sounds strange, right? It sounds strange, right? Should I start doing the Greek word is bohu tohu? Should we go? I know tohu bohu, I know it very well. Yeah, you know, sometimes we tohu bohu our lives, we forget about the basic principles of life. Learn to build relationships. Learn to ensure that you are intentional about relationships. Yeah? Somebody is talking, somebody is having a conversation. I was somewhere, I traveled, my wife invited me for a wedding of one of our closest friends 2 weeks ago. So I got there, right? And several people kept coming to reach out to me, talking to me, and I kept talking to other people. Then somebody who was observing came and said, "Who don't you know here?" So my wife got home, I was reporting it to my mom that what happened, right? Me, the husband that they invited, this is the person that knows the couple, right? I'll be introducing my wife to people at the wedding. I said, "Meet my wife, meet my wife, meet my wife, this is my wife, meet my wife, this is my wife." Right? What was she trying to say? Right? That I knew so much people, right? Such that in that meeting, you can say an average of maybe two-thirds or half of the people could know. So someone walked up to me and said, "Who don't you know here?" So people who I knew before, we spoke that day. The people who I didn't know before, we initiated a conversation that day. Right? In fact, there was somebody we spoke to who, you know, was doing something. I'm not going to talk about that, but he was trying to venture into something worth millions of dollars. Right? You know, in that kind of conversation, interestingly, I mean, obviously, I preached to him. We ended up talking gospel and everything. But his contact is on my phone. And guess how we ended that conversation? If you need anything from me, let me know. Some of you collect people's number. You don't even know how to say, "It was nice meeting you earlier today." That's why evangelism is hard for you and follow up. Yeah? You know, you see somebody who, you know, just even randomly, you don't even have to, the person doesn't have to be anything. "He was lovely meeting up with you today. It was good meeting up with you today." Somebody reached out to me a few months ago. I think I must have said this in church, right? Somebody who have wished happy birthday every year for over 8 years. The year I did not wish, the person messaged me at night, "I'm still waiting for your prayer." So that means people, there's something valuable about what I give her. But guess what? She has failed in managing her relationship with me. You know, I told you, last year I took out 1,000 birthdays for my calendar, over 1,000. Me only me, one woman me. Over 1,000 birthdays for my calendar. I took it, I deleted it, I didn't even blink. The moment I deleted it, I deleted my recycle bin. Guess what? Somebody has been wishing you happy birthday, praying for you every year for 8 years. You've been the same, amen. You just say TNZ. Learn to stop all those nonsense. There's difference between thank you, there's thanks, there's thanks. What is thanks? Stop those nonsense. I have a busy schedule. I took up my time. I memorized your birthday. I wish I will pray for you. Prayer that I know your pastor might never pray for you. Thanks. After I did it for 8 years, I'm saying if you go through my chat with her, the only chat with her for 8 years was on her birthday. Now message me on the ninth year, the year of the restoration. I've not got to your prayer this year. I didn't know what to say to her. I just said, this is how people lose relationships. You have people who are available in your house, you don't even know their birthday. It's today. Every year, it's today. Why are you living life like someone that does not have where they are going to? It's today. It's today. September 7th. September 11th. November 22nd. Why do you have a phone that has calendar? If they remind you this year, note it. Note it. I want to thank somebody. Thankfully. Thank where? Appreciate people well. Appreciate people well. I don't have the practice of just saying amen, thanks to people when they thank me or when they say anything to me. I've just learned not to be that way. Because the truth is, a lot of us, we feel we are not expressive, or we say we are not expressive, but it's not true. You know, if they accuse you wrongly at work, an email will come up and you will generate it. And it will be long. And you will explain yourself. That means you can express yourself. That's what I'm saying. Yeah? If they accuse you wrongly at work, you will type it, you will explain it. Not every year, thanks for all you do, thanks for all you do. There's thanks for all you do. There is thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this, thank you for that. Learn to build those relationships with people, your family members, your colleagues, your friends. Right? It's very important. Learn to talk well. Oh, I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. There's thank you. There's thank you so much. There's thanks. There's thanks. The new one is TZ. I don't know how to even pronounce it. No, type it out. Say that you are not that busy. I'm saying even people who are busy, they know these things I'm telling you. Multi-million dollar owners of company. All together, right? There's some people who I text them, I know what they control in this world. And when I see their reply, it warms my heart. This person can think of replying me that way. Who am I? I'm still looking for how to feed 2 times a day. As somebody who can feed a nation, you can be very intentional about replying this way. It warms my heart. Yeah. Now imagine the reverse. You know, I don't usually talk to people. I just face it and give it squarely. There are people. Even the Bible says, when you want to correct an elder, entreat the elder. Everybody collect you. You are a fool. You are a fool. When you talk that way, you are a fool. When you say you can change it for anybody, you are a fool. Nobody here is a fool. Hopefully, you don't change it for people anyhow. Nobody here is a fool by the special grace of God. Inshallah. Okay? Say, no. Anybody want to change it for me? I'll give it to you. Change it for me, I'll give it to you. What are you giving? Learn to be courteous. Learn to be courteous. You know, some of us have very high taste for customer service. See, customer service is something that it's usually a hit or miss, more often than not, anywhere in the world. It's not limited to people. It's just that some parts of the world have decided to own bad customer service, and they will hide under the guise of they're not paying us well. But you know, you can actually act more moderate. You can actually act with decorum, even when you're not paid well. We're not paid well. Where I used to work before, I remember, right? There was a scenario. I was driving out of I went to buy fuel, right? So I was driving out of the outlet, the retail station. And you know, my car was heated up, so before I would drive, you have to first wind down the window, then go further on the AC to pump up. So as I was driving out, I just heard two people exchanging words. One of the people selling fuel there, and somebody that was random. And I came. And I drove back into the station. I went to go and park my car, and I came down from the car. Right? And I reached out to the woman. Hello, ma. Are you okay? Is everything okay? You know, she explained to me. What did she say? before she traveled, she came to Bifua, right? And the POS, right, charged her, but it showed a decline. So they've charged her because she was rushing to catch a flight. She now brought her cash and paid. Then she got back home in the evening and saw that she paid twice. Now, you that you are selling at the pump, you know that an organization like that has put a structure for complaints like this. Why don't you say, please, can you go and meet my manager? Can you meet my boss? The woman started changing it for the woman. No? You know the woman I'm talking about. Just started changing. So what should I do? I said, oh, sorry, ma. Oh, is that what happened? Oh, I'm so sorry that happened. I'm a staff of the company. And I spoke to her. What happened? I said, oh, what bank? GT Bank. Oh, beautiful. I just cracked a joke. I'm actually just coming from them. They actually wasted my time there. Now we laughed. I brought her iPhone. I requested the details. And saw her. And I showed her how to request a refund from the app. And I said, give it 24 hours, 72 hours. This is my phone number. Call me when it's sorted. He said, what's your name? I told her, my name is Joshua. Do you work here? Oh, yes, I work here. If you have any issues, let me know. Within 24 hours, she got it all sorted. I think she went to a social media page or something to write about it. She met one kind guy. What did it cost me? If you work in those organizations, right, and customer service particularly related, learn to not allow people frustrate you out of you being a believer. You are a believer, not a phone answerer. You are a believer. There are people who will come to change it for you. Don't change it back. You see, those are situations where you know that the word has entered your heart. In fact, if it reach you for you to even say, if not because God touched my heart, if you had met me when I was an unbeliever. you are no longer an unbeliever. You are a believer. So reflect. Let me also say it this way. If you are paying for services, right, and they are treating you bad, don't let their treatment make you start acting out of place. You know, you can tell someone you're not happy about what they did for you or did to you and not be derogatory. You can actually speak to people with a very polite tone. And I'm saying that a lot of times, if that's how you saw life while growing up, you need to intentionally make up your mind not to be that way as you keep growing. Because guess what? You're going to be a template for your children and for your generation to come. It takes a man to stand up, right? You know what? A lot of times what people call generational pattern, generational causes. A lot of times it's just by observation. What did you see while growing up? If you saw your father as somebody who you didn't want to be like when we were growing up, I beg you in God's name, go and look for another father. Listen to what I just said, though. I didn't say go and defy your father. I didn't say you should go and say you want someone to adopt you. I'm saying look for a role model. Look for somebody you look up to. Look for somebody who you'll be able to say, can you help correct this? You know, sometimes when you see relationships that seem to be working out, you see something you like, don't be too proud to reach out to them and ask, what are you doing that is right? What can I learn from? Everybody, island of your own. In my home, we don't fight, too. I think you are saying something wise. We don't quarrel in our home. We don't quarrel in our... How? Are you a robot? Everything you do is right to your wife. And everything your wife does is right to you. There's a problem. I'm trying to say from the day one, no. It's not true. Don't lie to us. Yeah? So you now have to learn relationship management. How do you manage relationships? How do you speak to people? How do you build relationships? Some of you cannot boast of a friend for 2 years. I'm saying analyze yourself today if you're listening to me today, either online or offline. Right? Can you say, I've known this person for 15 years? We've had our differences, we've had our issues, we've sorted it, we are still friends. Yeah? Or you are somebody who cuts up every cycle of their life is a new face. You now business teaches like for every level there's a devil. When you want to go into a new level, God needs to give you a seven. Then you will couple. What are you saying? And that's your excuse for cutting relationships from people. Let me tell you, there are friends you've had in your life, right? And there are friends you have now today, they are not replaceable. I can tell you for free. The people who have come to your life, if 10 people cannot replace them. I know those kind of people, and I value them. If anyone is in my life and you think I'm that kind of person to you, I think it's better you value the relationship. It's not mouth, it's reality. If I know people who in the real says, you know, there's people that come into your life and you know that, kai, 10 other human beings cannot give me what this person is. It's not by saying, no, if God can use anybody, are you not? They know that's what we say in our Gen Z generation. No, God can use anybody. Somebody, God has used someone to bless you, to give you a good career path, to give you a kind of stability. And the person, you do something wrong to the person is upset that you cannot apologize. So if you get away, you get away. Everybody collect, I cut everything. I cut like umbilical cord. And just see your life full of, you are with scissors, everything you are cutting off. Right? You need to learn to know how to value relationships. Learn to know how to value people. Let me show you an example very close today. Genesis chapter 37. We'll probably touch it more on Sunday. Please learn these things, though. That's what we plan to do with this series. We want to be very practical. Because there's some things you just realize. I'd be like, how do people think this way? Genesis 38. Bible says in Proverbs 12, it says, the ways of a fool seems right to them. So when you hear some corrections in church, like it just might be you've been acting foolish. Amend your ways. It says, but the wise will listen to advice. Genesis 37. For time, I'll not be able to touch a lot here. Let's look at 39, just for our time. Look at Genesis 39, then I'll probably just wrap up from there. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of the master, right, of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand, right? And Jacob found what? Grace in his sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer over the house, and that he had put into his and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians, you know, house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house. So, you see this example, Joseph was somebody that you could tell that what he put his hand on, right, is prosperous. Is that what you saw just now? When you have a person like that, know how to guard them. Know how to guard them. I don't want to venture into the remaining part of this chapter because it's going to take a lot of our time. But when you see people, right, who you know, there's some people in your life, you just know this is supernatural. The way we met is so supernatural, it cannot be luck. It was some supernatural occurrences happening behind the scene that brought us together. That is supernatural does not mean you will not have issues. Now we're together. That is supernatural does not mean that the personality of the person will not clash with your personality. Altogether. Think about Paul in scriptures, for instance, right? Yeah, there was a man called John Mark, right? Who caused separation between John and who? Barnabas. Who was Paul? Who was Barnabas? Senior men in the things of ministry. Barnabas more likely older in the things of ministry, right? And a John Mark came. Right? John Mark came, caused a division. John said, we'd rather not go with John Mark. Why did Paul say we will not go with John Mark? John Mark had disappointed charters before. It wasn't just a normal statement. He said, so Paul was biased, said, because of how this guy behaved that time, I don't think I want him to go with us on this journey. And Barnabas, who was a relative to John Mark, said, no, I want John Mark to be on my journey. And what happened? Paul and Barnabas, they split their ways. Barnabas with John Mark, then Paul with who? Silas. Right, that's what led to what you call Paul and Silas, because they eventually were what? Arrested. But guess what? When you read one of the last letters of Paul, right, he will say John Mark is profitable to you. All together, John Mark, the same John Mark. That means Paul was smart enough to know that regardless of our individual differences, this person is something to me that can help you in fulfilling the cause and ministry of Jesus. And that's what Paul taught to Philemon. He says, this man called Onesimus, yes, he was a servant, he misbehaved, but take him as your brother now, for he will be profitable to you when it comes to things of ministry. Know those people and hold them tight. Put your ego down. Put your ego down. I've seen it like magic. I've seen it in various relationships, right? I've had situations where they were wise enough to come back to apologize. Yeah? Now, why am I saying they came back to apologize and not me come back to apologize? Because me, I know not to throw away relationships. Yeah? I know I can give you stories, though. I won't talk now. When I'm 50 years in ministry, I'll talk about it and call names. Yeah? But for now, I'll just leave it like this. I know people who, they decided to intentionally shy away from what God has ordained in their life by relationship. And what happened? When they saw, they didn't overcome, they came back. You know those kind of apology where you now apologize by saying, sorry, saying, only your food is on the table. You know that kind of apology where you're using back door. But the most important thing is you found out that it was something profitable and you came back to it. When you see relationships that you know are supernatural, hold on to them. Don't join this generation of cutting people off all of a sudden. Hey. When people cut people off too soon, they think they are wise or they think they can see the future. Do the statistics. Don't tell anybody your answer. Look at when you were in secondary school, when you were in university, when you were in primary school. Look at the ratio of the people you know till date. Look at how the people you thought will be where they were. Look at people who you thought should be somewhere today. Look at people who you thought should not be somewhere today. And look at where they all are. If you can do that quick analysis, you know it happens to everybody in any school. If you can do that quick analysis, you'll be too quick to drop your shoulder down. Yeah? It's easy to conclude on a man because of how he looks. Altogether, it's easy to just, no, this man, no matter what it is, no. There's no, you know the people look at people's face and say there's no future with you. NFA, no future what? Ambition. You know, sometimes some parents do it, right? Yeah? I remember there was someone who was telling me a very unfortunate situation, right? The mother told the daughter that this man cannot take care of you. Yeah, this man cannot take care of you. In fact, they asked the man to your face, can you take care of my daughter? And obviously, because of the statistics of the way the life was going, he knew that he does not know what to answer. You know, he can only say by faith. And guess what? Today, because I know the two stories, I know the two families, I know the two people, I know their extended family, I know they are both married, I know where they are now. I can tell you for free that there's every tendency that girl is springing in her mind. I wish I knew. It's not a joke, I'm telling you. That she's saying, I wish I didn't listen to my prayer. I'm not saying she's not listening to your prayer, so that's not what I'm saying, yeah. But I'm telling you for free. Why? And listen, the story is not over yet, though. Tomorrow they might jump up, and this one will go down. Whatever that means to you, make it float your boat. I just told you, I'm just telling you that don't be too quick to conclude on people. Don't be too quick to conclude on people. It's not the man that first starts the race that ends up the winner always. That you start the race is an advantage, right? But it's not the only advantage. There's no time Usain Bolt will run that the first 40 meters is in front. Go and check all his racing. There's no time Usain Bolt will run that the first 20, 30 meters is, you know. Usain Bolt is one of the men in history that they tell you he's one of those people that has a slow start. Because, I don't know, maybe because he's heavy or because he's tall, it takes him more energy to stand up and to go. But just watch Usain Bolt at the 40th meter, and he's running 100 meters. And what happens? And he just picks it, and for, you know, he dodge, pushes his head forward, and he's got the gold champion. Yeah? The journey is still far. No one you are running 100 meters. No one you are running 400 meters. No one you are doing 100 by 4, or before by 100. And no one you are doing marathon. Life in itself generally is a marathon. Don't be too quick to clap for yourself. Don't be too quick to think you have arrived and start cutting people off. Don't be too quick to analyze and to say to yourself that you are sure that God is done with this person and what the person wants to do in my life. Don't be too quick. What I always say, I've seen men who were billionaires become thousandaires. And I've seen thousandaires become millionaires. I've also seen thousandaires become millionaires back to thousandaires. And I've seen millionaires become thousandaires back to, never forget this example I'm telling you. There's a reason. Right? So what I'm saying to you, dear saints, I hope I feel the nail on the head. Yes, build relationship. Right? Reply, respond to people. Reply with honor. Have decorum. Yeah? It's what I'm trying to say. I'm saying, if Bill Gates messages you, will you delay your response? And if you are bold enough to say yes, I doubt you will go far in life. Listen to what I just said. Listen to what I just said carefully. I'm using Bill Gates as an example of one of the richest men in the world. If Bill Gates messages you and you say that you will not reply quickly the same way you reply other people, the reason why you're saying that more often than not is because you want to try to prove. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You're trying to prove that it's not about the person. And if of a truth, that is what you are trying to do, it's very hard to see that you will go far in life. I'm not focusing on text message today. I'm focusing on what? Relationship management. Relationship building. You know, if you're a project manager, the most important thing is what? Relationship. If you like, go to your company and go and be shouting, business analyst, submit. Solution architect, submit. If they say they will not submit, what will you do? What will you do? The worst case scenario, you do the job. The worst case scenario, you do the job. Right? But how you manage people, how you say, sometimes I see some things, the way some people say things that work, and I'm like, wow, that's such a brilliant way to communicate this truth. Like, I'm doing something bad, though. You're trying to correct me or something maybe I did that was wrong. I said, no, that's, I'll be like, oh, I need to learn how to talk this way. I said, like, because eventually, when it dawns on you that they're trying to tell you did this thing wrongly, you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I remember when I first joined my company, right? Usually, I'll be saying, so when I go to a meeting, and my manager says, I would set up a meeting and invite 3 stakeholders. Me, I would say, okay. Do you already say? I would say, okay, because you said, I will. But when they say I will, sometimes it is, what they are trying to say, in case you don't know, is that you should. That if I were to be in your shoes, I did it the first time, I messed up. I had to learn it. I'm saying it's all about relationship. And there are those who will tell me, set up a meeting tomorrow by 3 a.m. and invite this. It's the same two human beings, the same assignment. Learn to know how to deal with different relationships. Learn to know how to, you know, put your shoulder down. Stop raising your shoulder. And your early 20s already, you're already doing, it's too early. Just like a man that is turning 22, he says he's a life coach. 22. You put your Instagram life coach. Life has not coached you before. Yeah, life coach 22. There are some things that experience must give you. You know, I told you, don't let Gen Z deceive you and tell you that, you know, when we're growing up, tell you that what an elder will stand and see. A young boy will climb the tree and not see it. Say, no, it's a lie. ChatGPT will give me the answer. There are some things experience will not tell you. You know, ChatGPT can give you knowledge and theory. Just like pastoring. You can learn the theory of pastoring. They can teach you, don't talk like this. Yeah? Respond like we're a family. Don't talk as if you are the leader. It's a we. Until you find yourself in that situation where somebody changes for you as the pastor, then you know that it's not a we. We are not doing we. Yeah? You will need to ensure that you put your mind in a place to understand that experiences matter. It's not everything. Once you build knowledge, grow in experiences. Please, I beg you in God's place, if I'm your pastor, the things I said to you, let it minister to you today. Drop those bad habits. Drop those bad habits. Don't let your phone always be on silence. Yeah? And if it's that there's something you're trying to build yourself out, maybe a trauma or something, use God's word and get yourself out of there. Don't be using that excuse to put yourself back where you are. For you are growing old, though. I hope you know. I've shouted today now. Yeah? My age from 4 days ago, it has increased, though. You know now, yeah, we are growing. Yeah, don't let it be when you are 40. You say, I wish I knew. Posterity will let you know. Joshua Yusuf taught it on the 16th of July, 5 days after his birthday, 2025. Did you hear or you not hear?